Well, it's Christmas, okay? It's that time of year. How many of you have already set up at least a Christmas tree this season? How many of you have already set up at least a Christmas tree? How many of you wait till Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve, you do it on Christmas Eve. Nobody? Okay, I'm with you. We set up a ginormous Christmas tree yesterday. I think it's about 8 feet wide. Not tall. It's about 8 feet wide, okay? So all growing up, my mom, she liked big, round Christmas trees. They didn't look like this. They were just like round, and then they had a little twig out the top, okay? And so I guess my wife has picked up on that too, and that's the kind of Christmas trees she likes as well. And we pick a fresh one every year. How many of you have a fake tree, a tree that's pre-lit or fake? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you are like, no way, we're getting the real deal. We're cutting it down or planting it. You do? Okay, anybody else? Yeah, okay, you do. We do. It's a lot harder to find around here. They're a little more expensive than they are in North Carolina. There's like woods everywhere in North Carolina, so it's like, go out and chop one down if you want, or you can go around the corner and find one, but around here, it seems like a little more expensive, especially if you get the traditional Christmas tree look. So I can understand doing the one-time purchase and setting that up, but there's nothing quite like the smell of a Christmas tree in your house, to me. So I guess to each their own. Somebody tell me your favorite Christmas decoration. Doesn't have to be like a family specific, but, you know, do you like bows or do you like wreaths or what? Somebody raise their hand, tell me. I'm more interactive. Sorry, I need some feedback. So somebody tell me something that's their favorite about the Christmas season, a decoration. Somebody said nativity. I'll get back to yours in a minute because that's the one I was looking for and didn't expect it so soon. The star, okay, yep. What else? Garland, okay. Somebody's like, the tree itself, okay, maybe. Somebody, I saw a hand somewhere. Any more? Angels, okay, yep. Those are, I always feel like they depict them wrong, though. The angels that I see in the stores, they look so sweet and innocent, but every time they appear, they say, fear not, fear not. They must be scary-looking beings, and I think they are, and I, you know, maybe my imagination runs wild a little bit. I have a very vivid imagination. But I imagine like something like a lightning strike and bam, there's an angel there. I don't imagine them just kind of floating down, you know. So maybe that's what it's like. It's big, loud boom and there's an angel. I don't know. You know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I imagine they're pretty scary because it says a lot of times that they fall down like they're dead. They pass out, you know. That must be quite the sight. She said lights, okay. I love Christmas lights. One of my favorite traditions since we've been in Missouri, which I guess we've only done it twice. This is our third Christmas here. But one of our favorite traditions is to go down to Kansas City on Thanksgiving night and watch them turn on the lights of the city. It's just a fun time. It's cold. Yes, it's very cold, and there's a bunch of people, but it's really, really fun. This year, they weren't able to do it because of COVID, so that was really sad. I think this whole year, we can say there's a bunch of those kind of things, but I love to see the lights as you pass by houses. It's, I don't know, it's something warm and exciting about the lights. I love to turn off the big lights and just have the Christmas lights on when I do my devotions in the morning. And so a lot of times during the Christmas season, I'll use some kind of device to read out of the Bible because it's a little hard to see if I leave all the lights off. But it's just something warm and cozy about a Christmas tree decorated with lights. Well, it's appropriate that we talk about lights around Christmas, okay? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And today, that's what I want to talk to you about. The light of the world, Jesus. You see, when Jesus came, there's darkness in each one of us. Each of us are completely one of my friends that's a Christian says, blind, miserable, and naked. That's how he describes it. Oh, we're blind, miserable, and naked before we're believers. And that's kind of the picture that we're seeing. God has come to us and has brought light. So as we look around this year, I want you, when you see the lights, and we have the decorations up here, I think it's really pretty and fun to have festivities like that. But it's not just about, celebrate something, why not? No, we're celebrating Jesus' birth, and we want to be excited about that. So as we dig in, I want you to think about what light does for us on earth here, okay? There's a number of things that it does for us, and we're going to talk about what God's light does for us. I want you to see that you must accept God's gift of light and share it with others. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Lord, we're so thankful for your word, for the light that you've brought to us, that we don't have to live in darkness anymore. God, I pray that you would clear my mind. Help me to be able to preach what you want me to preach from your word. God, I feel distracted this morning. I feel like there's 100 million things going on, and I want to be able to focus on your word. God, I need that. My heart is in a little bit of turmoil, and I need your peace. God, I pray for the people here. I pray that you would help them to see the light that you are and what they can do, what you can do in their lives, but also their responsibility with that light. God, we'll thank you and praise you for everything you do today. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, first we're going to go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. When I was studying this out, I had thought about a billion things. Wow, that came on really loud. We're still having a little bit of trouble with our sound system, so just bear with us, okay? So I thought about a million things that I could preach about. And each one of them is quality good. As long as it's coming from God's word, it's going to be good, right? You have to, when you're preaching, you have to figure out not just what's good to say, but what God wants you to say at a specific time. And so I was like, Christmas message, I feel like that's cliche. It's like, well, never really preached a Christmas message before. I don't get to preach every service. Typically around Christmas, I've never really preached on the Christmas story or anything, and kind of still today I'm not really. I'm just adapting it to Christmas. But I was thinking about what to preach. What did God want me to preach? And so I settled on the light of the world, what light can do, and how God brought light to our lives. And so as I was studying it out, there were two passages that I was debating which one to go with. Should I go with John, or should I go with 2 Corinthians? And so I was kind of going back and forth, and I study one, and I'd be like, wow, this is really good for right here, but I really want this right here as well. And so I prayed, and I asked God, I was like, God, do you want me to be preaching from John 8, or do you want me to be preaching from 2 Corinthians? And so I went to the one, and I'd study it for a minute, and I'm like, I don't know. And God was like, both of them. And so it's a little more topical, I guess, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time in John talking about Jesus and the light that he is, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians and see some responsibilities that we have to do with that light, okay? So that's kind of our heading, and so just to give you some direction as we're going forward. So John 8, 11 and 12. This is just after the woman at the well, I think. Yes. Sorry, I was make sure it wasn't 2 Corinthians. No, it's just after the woman at the well, and so he's talking to her in verse 11, and it says, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you, and go and sin no more." I just wanted you to kind of see a little bit of context, okay? So God says, who condemns you now? Because, you know, everybody else has walked away because they can't pick up a stone because they've got their own problems that they're working with. Remember that story there. And she says, no one condemns me. And he says, I don't either. Go and sin no more, okay? And then he says in verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Jesus is the light of the world. That seems a little odd, maybe. Like, what does that mean? How many of you sang when you were kids, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, I'm a light, okay, do I have a candle, or I guess this is my candle, and, you know, as a kid, I would always mess around with, you know, my friends, and I'd grab his finger and be like, nope, your candle can't shine, you know, all this kind of stuff, and just being silly, but really, there is a light of the world, and this little light of mine, though, he says, it's coming from a passage similar to this, and he says, that Jesus is the light of the world, but he doesn't just stop there. He says, we do not have to be in darkness. We don't have to be in darkness. It says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Okay, I have to tell on myself a little bit here. How many of you have walked somewhere in the dark? Okay. How many of you walked somewhere in the dark where you could not see? Okay, so there's dark, where you're like walking at night, but you can pretty much see. And then there's dark, where you're like, okay, I'm good. And then you step a little more, because you can't see anything. How many of you have walked in a very familiar place when it's pitch black dark? I have too. It's dangerous. Very dangerous. The other day, I was going to meet a friend, and I had to print something off. And so I think it was like 6:30 in the morning. And so I ran by the church and, you know, I unlocked the door, but I'm like, eh, I know where I'm going. It's just into the copy room there. So I didn't turn on the light switch that's right there. And I just come walking through, you know, and I'm in a hurry. I'm late, really. I think I was 15, 20 minutes late that day. So I'm like, but I have to get this done. So I walk around the corner there into the hall next to the teen room where the room is, and I plunge head first right into the door. The door was closed. No one ever shuts that door. It's always open, okay? The worst part was you could see just a little bit, and there's a window like this, and when it's dark, apparently there's a reflection there. So I bumped into it with kind of like my foot and then my arms, and I didn't really recognize that it was the door right off. And then I look up, and there's a face staring right back at me. And I jump back like this, and I was like, ah, it's me, but big scary me, you know, okay? And so I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm glad nobody was here to see that. Now I told you, but yeah. But walking in the dark, it's dangerous. I had a missionary friend that I knew of that they had an outhouse. They didn't have bathrooms in their house, and so she was just gonna go to the outhouse at night. She thought, I don't need a flashlight this time. I know where I'm going, you know. So she's walking outside, and she felt something kind of hit the back of her leg, but she just kept walking. Well, that hit on the back of the leg was a poisonous snake bite, and when she got back to her cabin, her leg was kind of hurting, and her heart was racing a little bit. She felt a little funny. And it's a very poisonous snake that had bit her, all because she couldn't see. There's danger around you. My dad was in Africa, and he would walk up to his cabin, and there'd be a guy there, and he's like a real, real big guy with a machete, and he just stood there by the door. The guy's like, what's that for? And he's like, oh, you know, sometimes the tigers come into town, and he's like, or lions, sorry. And he's like, you're kidding, right? And he's like, oh, no, they'll come in and they'll drag you off. And I was like, okay. And he's like, don't go out of here without a flashlight. You need some light. It's like, all right, there's danger when there's darkness. There's countless stories. I'm sure you could tell me stories about things in the dark. I remember my dad doing the same thing that I did, except it was a basketball goal. And it was a skinny little pole like this, and his foot just happened to go by it when he stepped, and he was practically running, and just wham, right into that pole. He tells that story to us. There's things you can't see when you're in the dark, is my point, okay? When we start out in the dark. We can't see. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what direction to go. We don't know anything. That's how we are, but we don't have to be, okay? Jesus is the light of the world, and just a little bit of light can shine up a whole room, okay? So for you, if you are a believer, you've accepted that light. You've accepted that gift, and now you have that light. What you do with that light, we'll talk about in a minute, okay? So I want you to know, if you're a believer, you already have that light. If you're not a believer, you don't even realize you're in the dark. But you are, and it's a dangerous place to be. We're not playing a game. We're not just walking into a building and accidentally running into a door. This is a serious place to be. Would you come and talk to somebody today if you have never accepted that? You say, I'm confused. I just don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand. Come and talk to somebody. We'd be happy to show you from God's word. It's not our own words. It's from God's word what we're talking about. But I am going to move on. So we don't have to be in darkness. We can receive that light. So have you accepted the light that Jesus offers? Or do you live in darkness? That's a question for you to answer. Christians have a responsibility. Now we're going to turn over to 2 Corinthians, okay? And we'll spend the rest of the time here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of the age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, you bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we'll stop there for now. So what is our job? As believers, we have a job, and it has to do with that light, okay? So God's come in, he's got that light, and it's shone into our hearts. That's what the verse says. But we have a responsibility. Verse 3 talks about that. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, who's the God of this age, or the Lord of this age, or the God of the earth? That's the devil right now. Only for right now. God's coming, and he's going to take it back. But for right now, the devil's in charge. He's blinding. He's putting people in darkness. He's confusing people. That's what he does. And our job is to take that light and to shine to those. You know, remember, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. That's what we're talking about here. We have responsibilities to do. So first responsibility that we have is to expose blindness through the light of the gospel. To expose blindness. Light has, that's one thing that light does. It exposes things, right? Okay, so I had a job when I was at the Wilds, my third summer there, okay? You had to know I couldn't get through a whole message without using an example of the Wilds, right? It's just part of me. So we were there, and one of my jobs on Friday nights was what we called the Lust Busters, okay? You're like, huh, that sounds really weird. So on the on Friday night, some of the buses would leave, and okay, when these teens would meet, this guy and this girl, they would meet, and for 1 week, they had the love of their life right in front of them, and they just knew it, okay? And so they're saying bye, and they'd sneak off behind the buses. Now, we never had anybody sneak off behind the buses because little did they know, we had people back there, okay? And they would say bye and give hugs, and oh my goodness, it was so dramatic. And so we were the lust busters. We would come in with our flashlights and shine on them. Well, one time we caught these two, and they're talking, and the guy's kind of moving in closer. And so we're coming a little closer, and right about he's leaning in for a kiss, and bam, we shine the flashlight, and it's like the Holy Spirit hit him, and he backed up like this, and oh man, he was so embarrassed, and we pushed them back to their cabins and said, no, you got to go back, you can't be doing that here, okay? And so that was our job, but it exposed them. They thought back behind the buses where there was nobody, we'll be able to do something we're not supposed to. That's against the rules, okay? And man, those flashlights, they did wonders back there. Just turn on that flashlight and shine it. That's what we're talking about in a much more serious, impactful way, okay? It exposes things, okay? The light exposes what's wrong. If I had turned on the light in the hallway, when I walked around the corner, I'd have grabbed the handle and went in. I never would have thought another thing about the door being closed. But now, every time I walk in, I'm like, make sure the door's open, okay? You don't want to walk into the door. I don't know why I didn't grab the handle in the first place, but I guess I just thought it was open. My mind wasn't in the right spot. But that's what we are called to do. Now, how do we do that? It's by living righteously. Okay, you think, oh, that sounds like a handful to do. It is. But there's good news, and I'll get to that in a minute. Okay? And sharing that light with other people. When's the last time you've talked to somebody about what God's done in your life? When's the last time you've told someone that you're not in darkness anymore and they don't have to be? I tell you, this was convicting for me. Because even though I serve here at the church and I teach the teens and do stuff here, doesn't excuse the fact that every day I pass people. People I even have a relationship with, at least somewhat of one, and I don't tell them about the glorious light of the gospel. We need to be sharing that light, and that's what we can do. We can expose when we shine that light. This says, don't preach yourself, but preach Christ. Don't be sharing yourself. It's not about all me. Oh, yeah, look at me. I'm so great that I've done all this great stuff on my own and turned my life around. You know, poor you, you haven't turned your life around, but I've turned my life around. No, God has. God's done great things. You say, has God turned your life? Absolutely. He's changed me for the better. And it's not about me. It's about the amazing God that we have. Verse 5 says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And that leads us to our next one. So we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ, and it says we're servants, we're bondservants, or really slaves. That's what we are. We're enslaved to Christ, and we're serving him. How are you doing that? Are you serving? I have to say, maybe you're not. Analyze yourself. What happens when we come to church, okay? Now, there's a couple things that church should be. You should be encouraged, uplifted, and ready to fight the good fight this week from the Sunday morning that we have. But there's also a point in which everyone around you should be encouraged, uplifted, and ready to fight that fight too. You see, it's not just pastor coming in and he ministers to you. And so when I come in, what can I get from the church? No, that's not the way the church is designed. It's actually designed as a body. Some of you out there sitting there are like, no way. I could never get up there and preach ever. But man, I just get so excited every week to come in and vacuum the carpet or clean the bathrooms or whatever it is. I just get so excited to come in and do that. It's like, for me, I'm like, ugh, no way, I don't want to do that. But that's part of the body. Each member should be working together. And guess what happens when you don't serve? Some part of the body is not ministering right. Somebody's not getting encouraged. Somebody's not getting uplifted. Something's not getting done. Or someone's put in the wrong spot. Someone that wants to be in the background is up front. And someone that's up front is put in the background. And God's given giftings to each other, and that doesn't make any of them more important. We should be serving. If you're sitting here thinking, I don't know, how could I serve? Ask. Are you kidding me? I'd make pastor's day if you came to him and said, how can I be serving in the church? Man, God, pastor would be thrilled, and much more, your God would be thrilled. He wants you to serve. He wants you to be a servant. For what purpose? Just to clean? So that we can say, oh, we've got a clean church. No, not for that purpose. For the glory of God. It's way bigger than just a clean church or a polished message or a teacher for some class. No, it's way bigger than that. It's for God's glory. And when he sees you come in and say, I want to serve. I want to sing up here. I want to do this. God says, yes. Yes, that's right. Good job. That's what I want for you. And guess what? Other people get joy out of that, but you do too. When you serve, you get that joy as well. There's nothing you'd rather do. So be a part. Come. This is important. And when you're not here, the body is missing something. Can you imagine going without a hand for a whole day? Wow, that'd be rough. We used to play games like that at my house where we'd have to put our right hand behind your back for a while, and we could only use our left hand. And my left hand basically isn't connected to me, and so it was terrible for me. But being without a hand, that was hard. Maybe some of you know what it's like to not have a hand or know someone that doesn't have a hand. It makes it difficult. The body's crippled when you're not here. So be here. Be serving. That's important. Okay. So serve Jesus Christ. Then bring glory to God, which we kind of already touched on, but it says in verse 6, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's for Christ's glory. That's what this is for. It's bigger than just you and me. It's for the God of the universe that came and wrapped himself in human flesh and was born in a manger so that he could be despised and rejected. I think I mentioned I'm working on memorizing Isaiah 53. And when you read that passage, you think, what a God we have that was despised, rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it says that God the Father was pleased when his son was crucified. Are you kidding? How? Because of the redemption that was going on, the satisfaction of all that sin that you and me do. You know your heart. I know my heart. We're sinners. And it's for God's glory. It's just little things that we can do to glorify the God that we serve. And then lastly, we gain a treasure, and that's God's power. As you look down through this list, you might think, I don't know if that I can do that. I don't know if I can serve like that. You know, I get busy and things come up, I just don't know if I could go to anyone and tell them about what Christ has done in my heart. Guess what? You get a treasure. It's Christ's power. Let's look in verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This power from God, When people see your life, they think, wow, that's from God. That can't be from them. They can't do that in and of themselves. He can't do that. I get reminded often that I can't do the things that God has called me to do without him. If you've ever tried, you've failed miserably. Sometimes you even think you succeed and you fail and you don't even know it. You need that power, and it's a blessing. So when you look at this list of things or responsibilities, you might say, that God wants of you to share your light, don't be discouraged. God gives you power, incredible power, the power that he has. That's what he says in his word. And then, Christians, be ready. So this, in 2 Corinthians, it goes from verses 8 through 10 and talks about some hard things. It talks about being surrounded with trouble, being confused, being persecuted, and being cast down. Does that not sound like something that could be coming our way pretty quick? You know, if you take away politics and COVID, okay, throw those both out. I'm so sick of hearing about them, okay? Take both of those out. Is that going to solve all the world's problems? Unfortunately not. If everything worked out the way you wanted in those two areas, it wouldn't solve the problem, because we're sinners. We need a Savior. We need that light. And if you look around and take away those two things, we still got trouble. We still got trouble on every side. We see divisions and divisiveness and anger and sin. Nasty old sin. And it gets in my life too. You have to fight. You have to fight that. And it can be discouraging. Sometimes I'm confused. I'm like, God, what are you doing? We were a nation that predominantly we sent missionaries all over the world to share the gospel. And we're just becoming darker and darker. God, what are you doing? I don't understand. Confusion. Persecution. I wouldn't say that I've faced much persecution personally. I know people that have. And it's coming. It's coming, okay? That's scary. Are you cast down? Do you, sometimes you just get discouraged and you think, I give up. I'm done with this. I do sometimes. I remind myself of that verse that says, to not be weary in well-doing. It's like, what's the good? You know? Come, you do the best you can, and it's not good enough. You get cast down, discouraged. Maybe you're there right now. I hope not. Have you noticed I haven't read the passage yet? Because there's some great benefits that come with that. Let me read this these verses, verses 8 through 10. See, we are hard-pressed on every side, surrounded by trouble. Is the way I put it, yet not crushed. We are perplexed or confused, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Yeah, we're surrounded by trouble, but we're not distressed. We may be confused, but we're not in despair. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Christ is with us every step of the way. We may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. These hard things are coming. I want you to be warned. As you start to share the light of the gospel, hard things come. Discouragement comes in. You know, if you're not sharing the light of the gospel right now, you're probably not facing much of this. Maybe in other areas of your life, but you're probably not facing that much. And you say, oh, I'm going to do what's right and everything's going to get easier. Unfortunately, that's not the way it happens. When you choose what's right, you know who's not happy? The devil. He hates it. And he gets upset. And he's going to come after you. And you've got to be ready. When these things come, trust in the God. The God that gives you the power. The God that's bigger than these things. So as we look this Christmas at all the pretty decorations and the lights and the gifts back and forth, we can make direct correlations to us. You know, during Christmas is when people are much more likely to attend church. It just is. Christmas, Easter, those two times people go to church. We have a chance to impact them. We had some guests, I think it was last week, and I was so thrilled to see how many of you went up to them, introduced yourself, and talked to them, and spent time with them. Great job. That's part of serving, helping people. When we have guests here, they should feel right at home, like they're a part of the family. We want them to come in. But there's more than that. Can you imagine someone inviting you to their family reunion? Feels a little awkward. It's a little strange. I've had that happen, actually. It's weird. You feel awkward, unsettled, and if I had the option, I wouldn't do it again. I really wouldn't. It's just, I don't know, it just feels weird. That's how people feel when they come to church, okay? Feels weird. Feels like you're not supposed to be here. I don't belong here. I don't think I'm going to come back. So we got to build that relationship. We got to work with them outside of these walls. Really, church is not for unbelievers. It's for us right here, the people that have trusted Christ as their Savior. So share your light. Would you commit with me to end this Christmas season making a conscious effort to share your light with someone? If you're like me, when I was studying this out, there was three people that came to my mind, just like that. That I've been working on building that relationship with, but I haven't taken it any further than that. So now we've got a good relationship with no gospel given. I got to take the next step. It's a little uncomfortable. Maybe it is for you. It is for me sometimes. Like, what do I say? You're a sinner. You know, no, maybe not that. Just tell them what God's done in your heart and watch. People need what we have. Watch what God does. He's going to do great things this Christmas season. And even though they're covered up a little bit, we're still expecting more. We're expecting God to do awesome, great things. And he's doing it. You wouldn't believe the things that God's doing in people's hearts, and the little tidbits I see. I get to see growth here and growth there. God's doing it. Keep praying. Keep expecting more. Keep praising God for what he's done. And let's share our lights with the world this Christmas season and throughout the year. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your light that has shone in our hearts. God, we want to shine to the rest of the world. We want to be lights. You know, the old statement, the darker the night, the brighter the light. God, I just pray that we would not hide our light under a bushel, as the song says, but that we would hold it up for all to see. Say, come, you can have this light too. God, I pray that we would maybe even write down specific names of people that we're going to contact and share the light of your gospel with them. We want to see you work. God, I pray that you'd use this message in spite of me. How do you know that I need this? I'm a coward at times, and I don't want to share your light. I want to keep it to myself. God, would you help me, not just this season, but this week, to take the time to talk to people and to share my light. God, would you work in hearts in this room? In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, real quick, can someone tell me a benefit of light? Someone tell me a benefit of light. I wake up now, think, get your thinking caps on. What does light do for us? You can see, yeah, exposes. We talked about that a little bit. What else does it do? Does it help things grow? Warms us? Yes, it does. Have you ever had one of those hot lights over like a, you know, food plate when it's really cold and you put your hands under and you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to scoop another one real slow because my hands are cold. It warms us. Yeah, it warms, and it warms the food there. Absolutely. Plus our big, huge light that we have, we use for our source of light, the sun, that kind of warms us too. And the cold season, I really am thankful for warmth. What else does it do? Lets it grow. What did you say? It brings joy. That's exactly right. How many of you have noticed that on these cloudy days that you just feel like, man, I just kind of feel like curling up somewhere. I just want to snuggle in. That's the biggest thing Hannah and I noticed when we got here in Missouri is the land is so bare in the winter. And when it gets cloudy like that, we're like, I feel sad and I don't know why, you know? For us in North Carolina, there's mountains everywhere, and I don't know, it's just different. Winter's still kind of cloudy, but yeah, it brings joy. What else does it bring? Yeah. It leads you to the Lord? Absolutely. I liked Larry's that it helps you grow. That one's one we can correlate. Can't we? Yeah, without light, can't grow. Take your plant, put it in the closet, and don't open it up. It can be the right temperature. You can water it, but it's going to die. It's just going to die. It needs that light. And consistent light. Bruce, did you have one? Guides us. Yep. That was another passage I thought about talking about was thy word is a lamp unto our feet. It guides us. It takes us down the right path. Absolutely. These are all benefits of light, and just something for you to mull over. And as you see light today, as we go throughout our day, think about what it does for us, and think about how that correlates for our Christian lives. It's kind of neat. It wasn't something that was like straight scripture. That's why I waited till kind of after to talk about it. But it's just kind of fun to think through. If you have kids, or even as adults, talk about it. What else does light do? What can we see? Do you know that trees will bend towards light if they can't get it? That's kind of crazy. But the whole tree will start bending and growing out that way. Isn't that weird? You know, it's really neat what light can do, and that's what we're supposed to be for the world. So correlate that out, think it through, mull it over today, and I hope that you can enjoy the light that you have, as well as share the light with other people. Okay, we're dismissed.